Now comes the magic words. Ulevayer hadovor yoiser ktsas, sheyie muvon mize lemaskil, remozim ve'etzois lerech leilech b'derech Hashem. Rav Nosson says, now if anybody thought they were lost here, that they weren't understanding 100% how this applies to us, and how I could use this in my daily life, now Rav Nosson Zal is going to roll up his sleeves and start explaining all of this clearly, exactly how this applies to us. This stuff about Avram and Yitzchak, and a person says, what does that have to do with me? Now he's going to show you how this whole, all of these issues about Mishpat and Staka and Torah Sashem and Torah, all of this applies to us, Lamaisa, as follows. Who? It is as follows. Ki bevadai eifsher leilech bederech tzedaka v'chesed chinam levad, because it's definitely impossible for a person to go on the derech of just kindness and charity. She'im kein lo yaseh klum chas v'shalom, because if a person's going to take that attitude that Hashem is kind and wonderful and sweet, then the person won't do anything. Avol gam leilech bederech mishpat levad gam kein hu pegam godol. But for a person to interpret Hashem, to picture Hashem as being justice only, and you only get what you paid for, you only get what you did, is also a tremendous pigam. Ki ein ha'olam miskayim al pi adin levad kanal. Because the world can't exist on din alone. Impossible, as we learned earlier. U'kamay sheshchiach harbe, as we find many cases, Shekama v'kama naflu v'nisrachku me'ashem izborach al yidei ribui ha'mishpot v'hadin yoyser midai. There were many, many Yidden that fell away from Yiddishkeit as a result of too much mishpot, too much din. Shehichmiru al atzman harbe, they took upon themselves too much strictness. Ad she'oimrim belibam she'efes tikvosam, to the point where in their hearts they ended up giving up hope on themselves. You know, having such a low opinion of themselves, of the mitzvot that they do and everything. Machmas riboy avoinoseyem, because of their many averos, v'kilkulam and mistakes, u'pigomeyem ho'atzumim vorabim kechol hayam, the fact that they did all kinds of pigomim like the sand of the ocean, millions of sins. So therefore, they ended up having so bad an opinion of themselves, because again, there has to be some justice in the world, and based on justice, I belong in the super, super garbage, so therefore, forget it. Therefore, it doesn't pay for me to try to be religious, it certainly doesn't pay for me to try to be chosid, because I'm so far, so far gone. Ve'im ki emes shepogmu v'kilkulu harbe, and although it's true, even if it's true, that they did many sins and big sins, which means they caused tremendous kilkul. Afal pikein heim tzrichem liv toyach bechazde Hashem v'tzidkosoy uberachmov she'enom kolim loylam. Still, they should trust in Hashem, in the kindness of Hashem and the charity of Hashem, which is infinite. It's unending. She'adayin, adayin, yesh tikva b'chol pam, b'chol yoim, b'chol eis, v'chol sho, kol yimei chayev. There still is hope. Every time, every day, every hour, your whole life. Afilu him ku kamay shehu. No matter what, no matter where a person is, no matter how much mess he made, there's no such thing as Hashem not having enough chesed to accommodate him. That there isn't enough charity available to cover his needs even. Ki chazdei Hashem lo yisomnu, because the kindness of Hashem is unlimited. It's not that if you did a billion sins, Hashem's kindness only goes up to 750 million. Baloney! Hashem's kindness reaches as far out as you've run away from Hashem. Hashem's chesed can run that far out and reach you and cover you and suffice for you to pull you back in. Ukvar kosavnu mizeh bimokom acher. Rav Nosson Zal says, we've written about this already in another place. She'ikr nefilosoi machmas ribui hadin v'amishpotanal hurak hasosas habaldover. That this person who falls, who leaves Hashem, or leaves Yiddishkeit, or leaves chasidus as a result of this, as a result of saying, I can't make it, I've messed up so much that it would be wrong for me to believe that I could become a religious Jew, or a chosid, let's say. That attitude is coming from the Yetzer Hara. That's not humbleness. That's not being very religious or being very honest. It's his Yetzer Hara that's feeding him that stuff. Rak hasosas habaldover. It's the seduction of the Yetzer Hara. Shemevakesh loy toyano beliboy liftoy ratzmoy mikol chasashom. The Yetzer Hara is trying to feed him an excuse to make him exempt from being religious. You don't have to be religious because you could never be right. You're such a lowlife and such a loser, and you've made such mess that you have no justification. You could never get into there. So therefore, stay out and keep doing averus. That kind of attitude. Me'achar sheroya kilkula v'rabim. Because the person sees how much mess he's made, how much damage he's done with all his averus. That's how the Yetzer Hara tries to convince him to stay away from Yiddishkeit, or stay away from tzaddikim, because he could never get into that ballpark.
He's talking about Rishayim 100%, or people. I had the impression he's talking about people who are in and then they're saying
both.
Can't hang.
Both.
Is he also talking about the people who take upon themselves Qumrah and don't live to that, and don't become depressed in the country? They become.
No. He's talking about people here who attempt at sometimes to become more religious, and they fall out. And he says usually what makes them fall out is that they went to too much din. They were not either they took on chumras yiseiros that they shouldn't have, and that blew them out of the water. Or sometimes they ended up judging themselves too strictly. In other words, when they did mishpat on themselves and they looked at their sins, or they looked at their lack of progress, lack of invent. And that, from that, they drew the conclusion that I can't make it, or I'm still a Russia. You know, whatever conclusion they drew that drew them away from Hashem, it's all tied into this. It's all tied into this leaning too much. Ukvar dibarnu bazeh harbe. Rav Nosson Zal says we've spoken already a lot about this. I've written a lot about this. Ushloimoy hamelech olav hasholom tzoak al zeh. Shloim hamelech screams about this. Al titzdak harbe va'al tirsha harbe. Don't be too religious and don't be too irreligious. Don't be too much of a tzaddik and don't be too much of a rasha. Meaning, Rav Nosson Zal says, ukamayshom razal, as the Gemara says, im roshato ma'at al toisif laharshia. If you did a couple of sins, don't go out and do more sins. Im kvar hirshia harbe moid. And even if the person did a lot of sins, afal pikein tzorich gamhu lekayim mikrozeh shelo yosef yarshia oid harbe yosef chazashom. That doesn't give you an excuse to go out and do more sins. That certainly Hashem doesn't want you to do. Go out and make more sins. V'chol ma shememait melaharshia yosef yosef. And the more the person succeeds in cutting down on the amount of sins that they do, whereas before he was doing 3,000 sins a day, and he cuts it down to 2,900 sins a day, bevadai hu toivosoi lo netzach. That certainly is an ultimate favor to him. That's that'll be his eternal good fortune. Vegam al yidei zeh yuchalizkois besoif. And if he'll follow that path, in the end, he'll be zecher to do a complete tshuva. Ki ein yush bo'olam klal, because there's no such thing as giving up. I just want to go back for a second. This al titzdak harbe v'al tirsh harbe, there are other places in the Kutei Halachos where Rav Nosson Zal puts them both together and says, don't try to be too religious, because the result is going to be you're going to become big Russia. Al titzdak harbe, which will lead you to tirsha harbe. Notice when it says both of them together, don't be extreme tzaddik so that you won't fall into al tirsha harbe. Because by being extreme tzaddik, you're going to want to finish the whole shas. Suddenly a person becomes bal tshuva. He wants to become religious shas. I want to do the whole thing. And he can't do the whole thing, or he can't do the whole thing the first year that he becomes religious. So as a result of that, because he sees he can't finish, what does he do? He doesn't start. Or he gives up right away. He does one or two pages, and he sees it's taking me a week to do one or two pages. I'll never finish. So he gets turned off, or he gets cooled off. The excitement gets turned down, and as a result, he walks away from the whole thing. That's a perfect example of this. Who told you to finish Shas? Who told you to think about Shas? Think about, because you want to be very, because you want to finish Shas, therefore you'll learn nothing. Therefore you're not going to learn anything. Instead of doing what you can do, instead of doing what's required of you today. As Rabbeinu Zal screamed about this in a very deep, deep way, that making this statement, Ein shum yush boilam, that there's no such thing in the world as giving up hope. Ki kol tnua, because every move, v'ha'atoko, and every uprooting, where a person moves away from evil and moves in the direction of good, even the tiniest little move away from Ra, again, cutting down from 3,000 Averos a day to 2,999 Averos a day, even one hair length of movement, Eino ne'evedes loilam, will never go lost. Hashem will never ignore that or consider that insignificant, but rather Hashem considers it very precious, the tiniest movement towards good. Ki mido toivo meruba mimidas poronius, because Hashem's good side is always more than his bad side, than his judgment side. Uma kisha odom poigem oy oyver avera chasvishon. Hashem is porach mashgiach umistakel al kol pratu prat. And imagine if Hashem, when it comes to a person doing a sin, Hashem watches every particular detail, and Hashem will catch the tiniest fraction of a sin, as the pasuk says, "Imi soser ish b'mistorim v'ani arenu." Could a person dream that he's going to hide from me and I won't see him? I'll catch everything, not even your actions, even your thoughts, the Gemara says. If a person thinks a bad thought, it registers on Hashem's barometer, and Hashem catches it and makes note of it. Uchsiv, and there's another pasuk that says, Mimchoin shivtoi hishgiach, that from Hashem's high place, he looks down and supervises everything, he watches everything. Hamevin el kol maaseim, and Hashem understands all of our actions. So in other words, even when it comes to Averois, Hashem catches the finest, tiny, minute detail. Makolshkein v'kolshkein. How much more so, b'mida toivo, when it comes to good, b'vadai ein shum tnua toivo ne'vedes loilam. Certainly the tiniest movement towards good that a Jew does doesn't escape Hashem in any way. Hashem sees it and makes note of it and considers it very precious. Nimtza, shepigam elu hanoiflim machmas ribui hamishpot vadin kanal. Therefore, those people who end up falling away from Yiddishkeit as a result of too much mishpot, being too strict with themselves, too judgmental with themselves, ze nimshach mebechinas klipas esov kanal. That comes from this klipa called esov, where the guy's trying to miser his salt. The guy's trying to be too much mishpat, too chamur on himself, and ends up blowing himself out of the water in that way. Ulehepech, and the opposite version of this is, mi sheyirtze lismoich rak al chazdoi, that Jew who will take the attitude that his relationship with Hashem is he's flower child. He's into love and peace with Hashem. That it's a love relationship only. There's no obligation. We're just in love with each other, and I'm not duty bound whatsoever to do anything. A person who's soimech rak al chazdoi v'yifroik oy legamri chasashom, and ends up removing the yoke, throwing away the yoke, the responsibilities of religion completely, you know, the mitzvahs and everything, ze bechinas klipas yishmoel v'kanal. That's a person who's leaning too much to the right, too much to the tzedakah. That's the klipa of Yishmoel, who was a result of too lack of mishpat. V'ikr hashlemus zocho Yaakov. Whereas the Iker Shlemus, Yaakov Avinu was zoche to that. Shekolal mishpatut stoka yahad. He's b'shlemus godol kanal. He was the one who mixed together tzedakah and mishpat in the perfect balance. Al kein hoysa mitosoi shlema b'lipsul. Therefore, he was zoche to produce this complete bed where all of his children were all religious. Nobody deviating to this extreme or to that extreme. It's interesting. One of the Meforshim on Likutei Moran, the Parporos L'Chochma, writes on Torah Beis, where Rabbeinu Zalveya compares tefillah to a sword. There's a, the Gemara compares it. The Gemara says there's a pasuk, Roimamois Kael Begroinon, Vecherev Pifiois Biodom, that the Jews praise Hashem with their throat, and they carry a double-edged sword in their hands. So the tefillah is compared to a sword. And Rabbeinu Zal says in that chapter in the Kutaran, just because you have a sword doesn't mean anything yet. With a sword, if you strike somebody in his shoulder, this, that, you're not going to kill him. He can go and kill you. Even with a sword, you have to be able to maneuver the sword right dead center. If you strike with the sword at the heart, then you kill, then you destroy your opponent. Whereas if the sword deviates to the right or to the left, it isn't fully effective. So Rav Nachman Shigrinzal writes over there that what that's referring to is the klipa of Esav and Yishmael. Also, this concept of why? What is Yishmael? There are some people who say, I don't have to daven. Why? Because I davened already. That's called Yishmael, meaning they daven too little. They figure Hashem is so kind, the fact that I said three words, Hashem, or some people, Hashem knows what I'm thinking, I don't have to say it. No, they go, they take them the lighter view, the super easiest view. And their attitude is Yishmael. Yishmael is Shoma Kel. Hashem heard what I said already. Hashem knows what's in my heart, and therefore they don't bother davening. That's too much to the right. They're judging Hashem too much the chesed, in a sense, that Hashem doesn't require my tefillah. Whereas the other extreme is a person who doesn't believe that tefillah helps. A person who says that no matter how much I'm going to daven, it's not enough, because Hashem is so great and everything that, you know, all my tefillah is worth nothing, or all my sins. That's this concept of the sword going too much to the left. And when it comes to tefillah, a person needs dead center, not Yishmael, not Esav, but he's got to be in the middle. He shows over there that Esav is Miloshin Asiya. Esav says, forget this tefillah bit, you got to do it, you got to go out and do. Hishtadlus, you got to make it happen. The tefillah isn't going to help you. So he says the tefillah is too weak. And Yishmael is the opposite extreme, who says, you davened already, it's enough. Now, you know, you don't have to do more. And both extremes are wrong. It's Yaakov Avinu who's the symbol of this perfect combination, you know, right up the middle. Umachmas sheyitzchok choyo ikr midosoy bebchinas mishpot bchinas toira, because of the fact that Yitzchok Avinu, his main thing was din, midas hadin, which we're referring to as mishpot or toira. Alkein choyo kosheloy biyoyser limtsoy zivugoy sheu bchinas tefila kanal. That's the reason why we find by him specifically, it was extra difficult for him to find his mate. V'alkein loy noilad zivugoy ad achar ho'akedo. And we find that the Torah tells us that his zivug wasn't even born until he was 37 years old. And he had the akeda, that's when Rivka was first born. She'oz nimtak gvurois Yitzchok yadua. Because the Zohar HaKadosh says that at the Akedah is when Yitzchak Avinu's Gevura was sweetened, it was lessened. Kemoy Shekosov, as it says, Vayihi acharei hadvorim hoele, it was after all of this, Dahainu achar ho Akedah, Vayugad li Avram, it was told to Avraham, Shenoilda bas zugoy shel Yitzchak. And the Pesukim over there, Kemoy Shepirish Rashi Sham. Rashi says over there, it says it was told to Avram Avinu that there's a Besuel, and this one, that one, which was all alluding to the fact that Rivka was born. When was Avram Avinu made aware of that? After the Akedah, immediately after the Akedah. Hainu Kanal. This is as we said, or based on what we said earlier, that when there's too much Givura, then there's no Chesed. The zivug in this case, the wife represents the tefillah, the tzedakah. She symbolizes the chesed. So because Yitzchak Avinu was leaning too much to this side, he couldn't get it together with the other side. He was too far away from the other side. When the Akedah took place, that sweetened his din to a degree. That brought him closer to the middle. That brought him closer to his zivug. V'alkein ne'mar V'alkein Nemar B'Yitzchok, that's why it says about Yitzchok Avinu, Vayetar Yitzchok Lashem, that Yitzchok Avinu was Mispalel to Hashem, Mashaloy Nemar Loshen Ze B'Avraham V'Yakov, This word for tefillah, vayetar, is not mentioned whatsoever by Avram Avinu, neither by Yaakov Avinu, neither by Yaakov nor by Avram. Ki Yitzchok daiko hoyotzorech laharbois ulahaftzir betfila beyoser. The word vayetar, Rashi says in Chumash, means a lot of tefillah, like an extraordinary amount of tefillah. Why did Yitzchok Avinu need this extraordinary amount? Shezehu pirish vayetar, kamo shepirish Rashi sham. Rashi says over there that vayetar means he was super insistent. He really went all out. Ki machmas shemidosoi hoyu b'chinas mishpat, b'chinas Torah, because of the fact that Yitzchok Avinu represented mishpat, Torah, super din, b'chinas Torah mipigvura nitna. And we know the Gemara says, when it talks about the Aseres Hadibrois, it says that when Hashem gave the Torah in Har Sinai, did he give it with marshmallows? No. He gave it with blasting trumpets and with fire. The Torah, in a certain respect, represents din, right? Shofar, the shofar was blasting, and there was thunder and lightning, and the whole mountain was shaking, and there was fire. That's all Bechinas Din. So we see that the Torah represents Mishpat Din in a certain sense. So because Yitzchak Avinu was Mishpat Din Torah, Alkein Hoyetzorech Lahachriach Atzmoi Bekoyach Godoy Letfilah. Therefore, he had to twist himself into a pretzel in a sense. He had to try extra hard to get to Tefillah. Because he was leaning to the extreme left, for him to go to the right took a super extraordinary effort. He had to have a lot of tefillah in order that his extreme mishpat should make it to the side of tzedakah. Because based on his sharish nishmasai, he was very far from that. He represented the extreme left, and he had to bend himself all the way to get to the middle. V'zehu vayetar Yitzchok Lashem l'noichach ishtoi. The pasuk says over there that Yitzchok Avinu prayed very, very hard to Hashem opposite his wife. The word l'noichach means opposite or towards his wife. Rav Nosson Zal says l'noichach ishtoi daiko. Note, it says towards his wife. Ki daiko al yedei ishtoi rifko hatzadekes shehi b'chinas isha yiras Hashem hi tesalo shenoildo achar akedo achar shekvar nimtak dino ikzas, because it was specifically through his wife Rivka, who symbolized isha yiras Hashem, who was born after the akeda, after Yitzchok's din was sweetened a little, al yodo daiko vayetar Yitzchok. She was the one who gave him the ability to daven so hard. The main ability of Yitzchok Avinu to daven came via Rivka, who symbolizes this Isha Yiras Hashem. Just like again, Rabbi Akiva said that his main Hatzlocha in Torah came through his wife Rochel. She was the one who his Ikar Hatzlocha came through him. Yitzchok Avinu in this case, who represents Din, he represents Torah, his Vayetar, his Tefillah, came daika through Rivka, especially. Saying that when it came to Matan Torah, this was the main warning that was given, not to get too close. And this is where a person, this is where there's room for error. Rav Nosson Zal is emphasizing here that you need to know that Yiddishkeit has two major parts. There's Torah and Tefillah. For a person to think that they're going to learn alone, and they're going to learn, and that's going to give them the knowledge to know what to do and what not to do, and gamarnu is sheker. It's a serious mistake. The maximum that the learning is giving you is 50%. The maximum Yiddishkeit that a person's getting from learning is 50%. Because there's the other 50%, which is so tricky, once I'm learning, to know what to do and what not to do, and to know what level of learning is considered just right for me, now how to apply what I'm learning to myself, that's a whole other ballpark. You're not going to say, that's dependent on tefillah. That's where the Gemara says that the rabbis, when they used to go learn, before they sat down to learn, they said a tefillah, and after they finished learning, they said a tefillah. Why? Because of the criticalness, because Torah is mishpat, it's din. Torah can produce Esav. Right. Torah can produce Esav.
Right.
And unless you're going to temper it with a lot of tefillah, the odds of getting it right are very minimal. The odds of being able to make the right decisions and knowing how much to do or how little to do, what chance does a person have of figuring it out, you know, of getting it right?
How do you know when to take something on? Through the tefillah?
The answer is that that requires tefillah, number one. And to some degree, a rabbi can help with that. If a person has someone that's more advanced than them and that has a lot more experience, sometimes from their experience, they'll be able to use that to guide you to a degree, to tell you it's too early for you to start taking this on now, or go slower, or go faster, or you're not going fast enough. To some degree, you can get that from a rebbe. And to a large degree, that's where the burden of responsibility of tefillah comes in. Begging Hashem, Hashem, I learned this. Now that I learned about this mitzvah, show me how I could be zeichet to me. Show me where I should be holding in this today, where I should be holding in this 3 weeks from now. Show me exactly how to apply this to myself.
Does a person take a vacation from a kavyocho for a day how do you?
There's no set rule. I don't think anybody could tell you any set rule. It depends on where you're holding at the time and who and what, all kinds of different circumstances. When you're in a state of aliyah, when you're flying high, and when you have money in your pocket and this and that, then your rebbe can put, then you can put a little more pressure on yourself to take on more. When a person is in a very low place, when they're weak in a lot of other areas, to try to impose extra lachatz, beruchnias sometimes, can't be done and shouldn't be done.
Or even the level that they were at when they were in the aliyah, they're not going to come to.
Exactly.
So now there's a big gap between what they were doing on a good day and what they're doing now.
Exactly.
And then there's the reaction to knowing what a good day tasted like. And there's a,
all of this requires a lot of tefillah. That this is one of the main contributions that a person gets from tefillah. This is why I mentioned many times that there was once an incident with Rav Nosson Zal and his Talmidim. After he gave one of these shurim, they were about to leave. He said to them, now after I've told you everything, if anybody doesn't make sure to sandwich this shir with a lot of tefillah, I have no pity on them. Like, implying that don't think even Breslov. Even Breslov and others, even this kind of ideology, where a person would say, wow, he's telling it so clearly, not enough. Learning alone is not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough. It's only if you're going to work on both kivunim simultaneously, side by side, then you'll be careful not to go to too much tzedakah or too much mishpat.
And if one finds themselves doing it, I find myself, they crank up the piece that's missing, more tefillah, less Torah?
More tefillah, to add the tefillah. To make sure to be begging Hashem that I should be zocher, that the Torah shouldn't blind me.
I find I go in like very big leaps and that, you know, it's like a very spiked chair. Some people are, you know, either this way or...
Steadier.
But
steadier,
like,
is usually safer.
Yeah.
Steadier is usually safer. No question about it.
The tefillah will steady out, will sand
out
the peaks.
That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about.
Sure.
And could be it'll help do what Yitzhak Avinu needed to find the zivug. We say here
one
of the difficulties was too much mishpat, too much din makes it impossible. Why? Because any girl you look at, she's not religious enough for me. If a person is too much towards mishpat din, then every girl is no good.
Yeah.
Because she's isha is lower than me, but he doesn't know that this isha which is lower than you is the whole key to your aliyah.
Nowadays, like, if we feel embarrassed or something like that, we might feel a rush of redness coming to us. Mm-hmm. Is that also another aspect of din?
For sure. Usually it happens when somebody judges you, when somebody confronts you and judges you as being guilty or wrong in what you did. Exactly.
That would be like a sign of judgment because, like, the person is judging with certain
100. That's why it says on Rosh Hashanah, the one that blows the shofar, his face turns red. It talks about that. Because in him is going all the din. The midas hadin is being funneled into him. Baruch Hashem.